Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 81.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
Go!
Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I am your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Natalie Williams.
Hello.
In this episode, we're beginning a new theme. That was me. Look, no matter where you're at in the country right now, the weather is shit. So with that in mind, we decided to go a bit lighter in subject matter this month. At least, that was the idea. Our new theme is movies featuring animals, and this episode, we are discussing Project X, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Before getting into our discussion, we would love to mention we are brought to you by Deliberate Noise Network. Get your sweet asses over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of their other shows over there. That having been said, it is drink roll call time. Eric.
I am having a beer. It is from the Weyerbacher Brewing. And it is, at least I think that's how you say it, but it's called the Imperial Pumpkin Ale. So,
weird.
A little late in the season, you know, February or the beginning of March, I guess it is now, is not exactly the time that I would imagine having a pumpkin ale, but what can you do? That's what I'm having. It's not great, I'll tell you that much.
Isn't Weyerbacher one of the names he calls that kid on Rookie of the Year?
Is it Weyerbacher or Weyerbacher? I don't even know.
Rosenbagger. I don't know.
What, this is weird, by the way, with it just being the two of us. This has been like months.
I know. I missed you so hard.
I don't even know how to do it, I don't think.
That's what she said.
I know, and I feel bad every time she mentions it. What are you having to drink there?
Well, this is going to be the weirdest shit ever, because we were pulling in the garage tonight when I got home. We got home from going out to eat, and I noticed that I had a few Octo Beer Fests left. Or Oktoberfest from Sam Adams.
Yes.
And that's what I'm drinking. We are apparently yearning for the fall.
Apparently.
As a team.
Sheesh. What,
really good, by the way.
That was just in the car? Or?
Oh, we keep our overstock of beverages out in the garage where it's cold, you know, because it's Nebraska. So,
oh, yeah.
You don't have to have a beer fridge necessarily. And so we seriously just have a pile of beer, like the Yinglings and then like whatever other beer we have. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize we still had those. So here
just
we are.
Like a stack of cans?
No, they're in boxes. Like we have like four cases of Yingling out there and like, I don't know, just
that's
whatever.
A lot of booze to be having.
Have we just met?
I feel like you don't go through enough of it like you used to or something.
Well, I don't know. We got, like four cases of bottles of Yingling for Christmas for my sister.
Well, there
brought it all the way down from the East Coast because she's super sweet, so.
Maybe you would have, had a few more of those beers if that Rousey fight would have lasted a little longer.
Oh my god, it was 14. Like, I was sitting there, like, I'm watching on the big screen, I'm at the bar, and I'm like, this might be a pretty good, oh no, okay, we're done. And we're done. Yeah, can I have the check?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess, let's leave. Whatever.
Yeah. Oh my god, it was, I mean, I wanted to be surprised because she's an animal, but damn. She's frightening.
She's something. All right, let's go ahead and kick into gear here and talk about
the tasty groove.
Talk about something else that is something. Our first pick is, obviously Rachel's pick. It is from 1987, which is apparently like just the golden times for you, these 80s movies.
Why?
Well, you had Victor Victoria. That was the other one where, you know, it was the last non-2014 by rule pick was also from the 80s.
Oh, so you have two things that you're going off of.
All
right,
I'm saying is you're a child of the 80s. You love your 80s movies.
That's toy.
This is not
new. Oh, this is Project X. Not the shitty movie from 2000.
What's interesting about this is the movie's Project X, and we'll get to the trailer and my, and Rachel's reading here in just a second. But you had talked about this earlier when we had talked about this theme, and you had mentioned Project X. And I was like, isn't that shitty, like, drinking movie from 2 years ago?
Yeah, and you were like, what animal, are there animals in it? And I'm like, no, this is a shitty movie from way longer ago than that.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know. I was like, I just imagined it. What's the movie with, the guy from, oh shit, what's his name? From 22 Jump Street, not Channing Tatum. Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill?
Where he's the babysitter. Is that what it's called, is the babysitter?
Something like
the
that.
Sitter?
The sitter.
Yeah, I imagined, for some reason I thought it was that movie. Because
and you let me tick, I mean, never mind. But
well, anyway. And so I thought it was like a shitty, like drinking, and there's a random chimp in it or
donkey
something.
Donkey or something.
Yeah, it's kind of what I figured it was. And
I feel like picking The Hangover because there was a tiger in there.
Yeah, and you're like, no, it's from the 80s and it has Matthew Broderick. And I was like,
I said Ferris Bueller, I didn't say Matthew Broderick.
All right, that's true because that's his real name. Okay, so anyway, that's a long way around getting to the fact that our first pick is from 1987, and it is Project X.
Remember, guys, it's not just a job, it's an adventure.
You stole an airplane from the Air Force. You had a girl and an open bottle of champagne in the cockpit.
I'm through. I'm dead. I'm done.
When Jimmy Garrett joined the Air Force, he knew he'd learn about leadership.
So why didn't you go to the Air Force Academy?
My instructors felt that I was spending too much time concentrating on football.
Football?
I ran a betting pool.
He'd meet interesting people.
Could I buy you a drink?
He'd work with space-age technology.
This is going to be a whole new experience. I just hope I'm up to it.
No, not you. Them.
These are monkeys.
But he never thought he'd meet anyone like Virgil.
Be a good boy, okay? Come here. Be a good little chimp. Friend.
Fast break! Ready? Dunk it! Good, good!
Throttle forward.
That's
come
it.
Up.
Up. Up. Go up. That's right. Pull it back. That's good. That's good.
Well, some very impressive flying there, Garrett.
Hey, Chimp Yeager. Give me 5.
It was a top secret project, and only Virgil knew the truth.
What's he doing?
I don't know, man. I mean, I've never seen this before.
I don't believe it. Out. Hurry. Help.
I think your animal is best qualified for our demonstration.
What's wrong?
Virgil.
You have to get him out of here.
Somebody lied to me. What am I supposed to believe?
Listen, they are doing top secret work here. If anybody knew that I even talked to you, I could be charged with treason.
What is his clearance? What is your clearance?
Starting countdown with King.
How fast can you get him out of here?
Sam, there's nothing you can do about it, man. 5, what do you think is going on 4, down that tunnel?
Let's get the hell out of here.
Garrett, what the hell are you doing?
From the creators of War Games, Matthew Broderick, Project X.
Virgil, comma, a chimpanzee who was at first being taught sign language so that he can communicate, is now in the military. An Air Force man, after committing some infractions, is assigned to the project involving the chimps. And he learns that Virgil knows sign language. Virgil knows sign language and talks with him. He eventually discovers that the project involving the chimps is and that it's inhumane. Okay. He contacts a woman who taught Virgil sign language and they tried to save him.
Yes.
I know you're working on writing those, but that was real shitty.
That was written with my left hand only. Oh, thought I did a pretty good job.
Uh huh.
I got one of those split keyboards.
Oh, I hate those.
So Project X. Okay. So this is 1987.
Yep.
I guess before we really get into it, have you seen this ridiculous poster that's not the photo of Ferris Bueller, but it's a artist's representation of him?
No.
Oh, my God. You need to check it out at some point. It's the dumbest looking thing I've ever seen.
All right. Put it on our page.
Yeah, maybe I'll have that be the Facebook link.
Okay.
It's terrible looking, though. But anyway, so why don't you tell me a little bit about you and this film? Because this is one that you thought maybe that you had on VHS, right?
I think it was taped off the television on VHS. So let's just go ahead and say that. Yeah, I hadn't seen this for a very long time. I just remember watching this when I was little with my sisters and being like, oh my God, monkeys are so cute. And I had like, I knew that they were being mean to them and they were like flying, you know, like airplanes, but like you know, above and beyond that, I really had no idea the premise of the movie. So, like, the second watch is, like, the 80s-est thing of all time.
Oh, it sure is.
But, I mean, like, you start the movie basically with a montage, so you know you're in trouble then, but that was my thing. I think it was on VHS, and it was one of those that we just, like, would watch all the time for absolutely no reason whatsoever, so.
And you just remember it having,
Virgil. I just remember the monkey with the crocodile, and that was adorable.
Yeah.
And then the one that smoked cigarettes, and I thought that was hilarious. So, here we are.
What's also funny is that it says, the perfect film is what this says on the post, on the actual poster.
Okay.
Heartwarming and heart-wrenching, a 10 plus.
Who wrote that? The same person who wrote the IMDb thing?
It's from someone from ABC TV, which is as reliable as it gets.
Right, Hallmark Channel.
So, this is my first introduction. I didn't even know this existed. Like,
welcome.
I genuinely didn't have any idea that this was a thing. Not that I follow Matthew Broderick's career that close. He's not, you know, he goes from doing Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and this is the film that he does right after it. So really? You would think, you know, he could probably pick whatever, right?
Maybe he wanted to do like a, you know, like a, and they didn't have indie flicks back then. So he wanted to do like his version of that.
He was like, you know what? This is when I'm really going to find my character.
Yeah.
I'm going to get down and dirty into this.
Yeah. Cause I have super like thought provoking lines.
And, oh, wow. So, okay. So I guess I'll say that I didn't hate it.
Okay.
I wasn't like appalled that I was watching it or upset about it or anything. Like I wasn't like, damn it, Cruise or anything like that, you know, which I do often, you know, I usually have something that I can throw onto the ground and go, damn it, Cruise, and then walk around
on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I can pace in my living room, all 15 feet of it. So I wasn't upset by it. I also obviously by my tone didn't love it.
Right.
It was quite the snapshot of the 1980s.
Yeah.
With your, you know, your whole Cold War thing. I mean, it's the most overt Cold War movie since, probably Rocky IV.
Oh, sure.
You know, where it's like, oh, the Russians are the worst and we gotta figure out a way to kill them all. And who cares if we kill all these apes?
We're done with that, right? Or are we still, like, as America?
I think we've moved on to greener pastures.
Okay.
Or drier pastures, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But, we watched, I mean, this comes on, and I put, holy shit, music. Because it's just the 80s of all the 80s.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and I just thought that it was such an odd tone to set. And the setting, like, didn't match it at all. It wasn't, like, this fun, like, happy-go-lucky sort of beginning. You know, with this guy in this dingy bar.
Yeah.
And it's got, like, this upbeat, like, 80s Miami Vice-style music. And I was like, what the fuck? I
didn't know how to do sad songs in the 80s.
Well, it's tough to get sad songs with, you know, with your electronic keyboards, I guess.
Right. They could have done, like, Careless Whisper or something.
Your synthesizer doesn't really have the sad setting, I guess. But yeah, so I, you know, then we're in this jungle sequence at the beginning and I was just like, oh, we're so precious about all of God's creations, you know, like all of the animals are just the sweetest things ever.
A little bit of the Lion King theme, like Circle of Life in there. Like, you listen, like really intently, you can hear it.
If you really wanted to find it, you could.
Yeah.
So that was okay. And then it just has kind of your, you know, sort of your 80s typical, like not offensive, but not really going for much kind of storyline.
Yeah.
It's a little similar to War Games in a way.
I can see that.
Where it's, you know, it's this kid who's, well, he's not supposed to be a kid. I mean, he's supposed to be a guy that's got kicked out of being like a fighter pilot. And I just gotta fly, man.
Yeah, you know, like, and I'm wearing this colored shirt, and I'm so crazy with girls in the cockpit. What's up?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, Matthew Broderick, 87, he was 25. In the movie before, he's playing a guy that's in high school, and now he's playing like a experienced war, or not war, but an experienced like fighter pilot type of a person.
Right. I put he's about as believable as a pilot as Denise Richards is as a doctor.
That's like your go-to. I love that. That's your your unbelievable character is always Denise Richards.
Because
she's awesome. That is a really good example because she's awful.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have him being very, very young, and he's supposed to play a young-ish character, but he still seems too young for it. Like, it doesn't play for me that he's old enough.
I totally agree.
What do you think of Helen Hunt, who apparently, if she was in a movie in the 70s, would look the exact same as she does always. Like, she looks the same to me forever and ever.
Right. I was like, are you supposed to be doing tornadoes things? Which is ironic because we watched a movie with Paul Reiser in it today. So,
oh, did you?
So weird. So anyway, she's super believable as some sort of collegiate doctor person writing a thesis, if we're gonna go as far as believability of character.
Yeah, I think
pretty
so.
Smart to me.
Yeah, I think that she kind of always has that sense of not being a real warm person.
Yeah, agreed.
But very intelligent.
Yeah.
So I think that she was pretty well cast. It's another thing where she just, you know, with her writing a thesis, I'm like, okay, well, she's supposed to be in college and that makes sense. And
right. She
looks about that age. And it's when she kind of goes and tracks him down and is in the bar and is like a kind of a go-getter. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not really buying this.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. You know, in one of the other things before I forget about this about Matthew Broderick is he gets in trouble for having the girl in the cockpit, right?
Yeah.
And he gets a slap on the wrist.
Shirt.
What's that?
And the crazy Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, right. That's the bigger offense if we're being honest. And he says, I'll never fly again. You're like, dude, you've been in the air probably twice. Like, give me a break.
Right.
And this is his motivation throughout the rest of the film, really, is that he'll never fly again, but he's got to figure it out. What is interesting also is I'm loving these posters that I'm seeing, by the way, is we have the actual one has Helen Hunt and Matthew Broderick, and it has him holding what looks like E.T., but is obviously the chimp after you've seen the movie.
In the red hoodie.
In the background. Well, it's in the background, so it's just silhouette. But then some of the other posters is the almost exact same picture of him, but Helen Hunt is just gone.
Oh my!
So it's like, hey, let's just focus on Matthew Broderick.
The man and his ape.
Yeah, that's true. So I thought that she was well cast. I think that William Sadler, who was basically playing the bad guy, Bill Sadler, as he is in this, but
the doctor.
Dr. Carroll, yeah.
He always wears the lab coat, yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice, believable jerk off.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
You know, he plays a jerk in everything that he is, whether he's in The Green Mile or Shawshank or Die Hard 2 or, you know, whatever he's in, he's always playing a real jerk. So I think that he's good at that. He's in it like, God, he's in everything. He's had 148 credits to his name.
Holy shit.
Ish, that's a lot. But yeah, so I didn't hate it. I thought that some of it was interesting, like the monkey being able to talk, and so of course he's wanting to go bone the other monkey and stuff like that. And
right, that part to me was actually super unbelievable because I don't think monkeys have girlfriends, but
well,
sign language thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they do.
I wrote two montages in one movie. Could we be so lucky when she's teaching him sign language?
Yes. Wait a minute. We get monkey loving in the next movie too. So
yeah. That's
monkey girlfriends. That's what our theme should have been called.
Monkey girlfriends. That sounds like a great book.
That is a good book. Good book. Good band title.
Yeah. So the whole like radiation thing. Like I wondered why when he went home and took a shower that they weren't playing the crying game, because I feel like that's kind of what was going on there.
You know, when they do the radiation and it's all in slow motion.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, cool. The monkeys are going to get like superpowers. Because I didn't know anything about the movie, right?
Right.
And so I'm like, sweet, because it's like they were moving in slow motion and everyone wasn't or something.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
And I was like, this is going to...
Project XX.
Yeah. Project Triple X would be a completely different thing.
Right, that's not what I want.
Okay, but so I was like, wow, this is going to be cool. And then I was like, no, they're just dead. Oh.
Yeah, it's so all right. Cool.
I was like, well, that's terrible.
The first one that they show in the movie looks like Khan from Star Trek. That's all I could think of when he was looking at the screen.
That's hilarious. He looks like Ricardo Montalban to you?
Yeah, Khan!
That's really funny. I did not and would not have picked up that connection. Never did I ever think that. Huh. So one of the things that I thought was completely ridiculous is you have to have, I mean, you kind of have to go, oh, okay, through most of the little plot contrivances, right?
Sure.
But, so Virgil takes Matthew Broderick's pen and then like throws it.
Okay.
And so instead of him just being like, ah, oh, you fucking monkey, like, what do you throw my pen for? He goes, well, I need to go get that pen, and then the freaking monkey runs away and then goes and finds the dead radiation monkey.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then the Matthew Broderick sort of figures out what's going on also, and I'm like, all because you needed this one fucking pen? Like, come on. You couldn't have come up with anything more dramatic.
Anything better to bridge that gap yeah. than a pen.
Well, it's the simple things is what really moves the story along, I guess.
I suppose. I just want to know, like, first of all, how Virgil saw the dead monkey and immediately was like, radiation poisoning. Totally.
Oh, damn. They totally were making him fly because of the Cold War and there's nukes and radiation. That's what he did.
Yeah. And I was also wondering, like, how he reiterated that to the other monkeys. Like, everything, you know, because everything was pretty chillax until, like, that point. And then the monkeys were like, we got to get out of here. But, like, really? They're like, oh, okay, how do you know?
Because he was just spazzing out, right? He just started, right. Throwing a fit.
Singing, like, something, some song of his people to them. And
yeah, and because he was such a well-educated monkey, because Ellen Hunt taught him the things.
Yes, the things.
You know, and that's another thing, too, I don't know, like, I thought it was always common knowledge that if, you know, a zoo animal or a specially trained animal is around humans and then let off into the wild, that they're probably not gonna do very fucking well.
Right.
I always thought that was kind of accepted. But, apparently not in the 80s because it's like, oh yeah, they'll just run off and they'll be fine.
Right, they won't just run up to a poacher or anything.
Yeah, they will. They'll completely know how to kill things and find their food.
Right.
they'll be able to figure it out. I'm sure. I'm completely positive of that.
Sign language, the other animals.
Yeah, they'll say, hey, do you mind if I start eating your leg and whatnot because I'm hungry? So. Sure, that's exactly how that'll go.
I mean, I thought that this was kind of like Dawn of, you know, Planet of the Apes, because like, you know, sets him free in the wild. You don't know what happens.
Well, so. Virgil changed his name to Caesar.
Right, and it's his middle name, actually.
Virgil. Call him Caesar Virgil.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or Virgil Caesar, depending on how you know him. Oh my goodness. So, I don't know. I thought it was silly. There was times after a while where I was kind of blanking out, like, oh yeah, it's still on, alright. Whatever.
Yeah.
It was one of those movies where you like to describe, because I'm sure this is what you do all the time, where you could be vacuuming or doing dishes or doing whatever else while the movie's on.
Why did you say those two things? You know, because could be like chopping lumber or some shit.
Those are the things that you do and Brad doesn't help out with, right?
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. I didn't say
making dinner.
the rewatch for me was a little Oh, yeah, I forgot. I mean, my favorite part, I think, was when he's wearing the human clothes, and it was adorable, to be honest with you.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
And, by the way, you haven't mentioned it, but I'm sure you noticed that when she tracks him down at the bar, they order 2 beers, which is fucking amateur hour, because there should be so many different kinds of beers you could choose from.
Oh, yeah, you don't just say
it. No, they got, like, Miller High Life, because that bartender was like, he's fucking stoned. I don't know anything. I'm going to give him that shit beer.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you're getting old mud. Sorry.
Oh, gross. Natty Ice.
Mm. That is the good stuff. Yeah, I did notice that. I hate it in movies when they do that. I'll have a beer, please.
Right. It's like walking in and going, I'll have a beverage with liquor in it.
Oh, here you go. I know exactly what you would like.
Of course, I read your mind.
Here is your generic beverage. Continue with your scene, please.
So that was all I had to add.
I don't know. Yeah, so it was not offensive, but it was kind of what you would expect out of an 80s Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So, okay, well, let's move on. Our second and last film, which is so weird that we just have the two. I felt like, oh my God, did I forget to watch some movies? You know, after going through the 4 movies, all the extra chatter going on and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
This is throwing me off my game.
Minimalist right now.
That's right. So our second film is one that maybe is picked primarily because we didn't get to it. And if you listened to last episode and listened close, you could see that I got overruled when I was trying to squeeze this movie in for part of our movies that we missed. It is from 2014 and it is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
I've seen the way they are. They want what we want, to survive.
Caesar, home. This is your home. Your home.
Are you aware they are going to turn on you?
They don't want a war.
No! Don't shoot!
Caesar, you have to go.
Together, strong.
War, it's not what you want. There must be another way.
War has already begun.
A growing nation of genetically evolved apes, led by Caesar, is threatened by a band of human survivors of the devastating virus unleashed a decade earlier. They reach a fragile peace, but it proves short-lived, as both sides are brought to the brink of a war that will determine who will emerge as Earth's dominant species.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's an ending we all know what happens.
That was written by 20th Century Fox, so if you have problems, you can...
Actually. That was a pretty good one.
I should hope so. I bet they paid someone to do that.
There should be a dash between genetically and evolved, though, because it's describing the apes.
I don't know. I don't think that I would catch that in my gradings. Because, you know, I don't know that the attention to detail is really there.
Okay.
So, okay, this is my pick. This is the film that I wanted Anel to pick last week instead of the movie that she did. I'm glad
that you heard about it.
And she said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm doing what I want. And I said, well, fine. So, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. It is obviously the sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which I quite enjoyed, which I purchased, which Anna really enjoys. So I was like, oh, okay, well, this movie looks much darker. Let's see how far we can get into this before she is freaked out.
Freaks out.
We made it 10 minutes. So
oh, no!
Not too bad. And then she was doing the, huh, oh, kind of thing. And I was like, well, it's time to turn it off. Time to turn it off.
Put foot down on this one.
Yeah, so that's why it was like, oh, here, Rachel, you want to borrow this? Because we're probably not going to watch it. She's probably never going to get to it. So, I quite enjoyed the first one. This one with, from the trailer, you could kind of see that it was going to be a little darker, a little more post-apocalyptic.
Right.
You know, a little bit more into that wheelhouse that you typically enjoy. And, you know, seeing what's become of the world after humans are gone and that sort of thing. And I enjoyed it. It wasn't, I think that for whatever reason, I didn't quite connect with it like I did Rise, but I still enjoyed it overall. I thought that, we can get into some of the specifics of, some of the things that I thought were absolutely amazing, but, overall, I thought it was, I enjoyed it more than I didn't, I guess. So I had a good time with it.
All right.
What did you think of it, Cruz?
I was kind of the same way. I think my problem was I, didn't really connect with any of the characters.
Yes.
The human ones.
Yes.
Or the ape ones. and so I mean, everyone, including the characters for apes, were all pretty generic, like all very cookie cutter, like the hero and the sneaky villain. And, you know, on the human side, it was like the good doctor. And, you know, so it didn't take away any of the plot for me, but it did take away like emotional things, like when they were trying to go for the heartstring stuff. I was like, I see what you're doing, you know.
Yeah, you could feel it pulling on you a little bit.
Right, but not. You know, like, I wasn't, like, a time traveler's wife sobbing into my wine glass or anything, so.
Nothing tastes better than tear wine.
My God, don't I know it. Brad comes home, I leave you alone for 3 fucking hours. What happened? Okay, anyway. So what did you think of the ape flu, or simian?
Simian flu, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I quite enjoyed that beginning. I found out through the trivia that a lot of those, clips were taken from London news feeds after the bombing in the subways.
Really?
So those were actual footage. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I thought that, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. You know, it's one of those things where if a movie's going to have the human race wiped out, great, fine, whatever. have it be wiped out, but don't have it be wiped out and then have there be like thousands of people, it seems like. And I'm like, granted, that's a small percentage of what there is now, but it's not like The Road where you see like 7 people.
Right.
Right, and you're like, whoa, they are really hosed. It's like, I don't know, you guys can probably make your own fire and just deal with the fact that you don't have power. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had a couple questions kind of about the beginning like that. First of all, I thought that the simian flu was turning people into apes.
Oh, no. No, it was just killing them.
What? Because, like, that's how zombie movies start, you know?
Yeah, but if you remember...
No, I get it. I figured it out pretty quick. And then... my first note of the whole thing was Sweden and Norway kind of look like a flaccid penis. So, like, this was where my head was at when I was watching this. It's like, they must have showed it on the map, and I was like, damn. But
I never noticed that, but I'm writing it down.
Yep. It was something I thought you would enjoy.
I did. I do enjoy it.
Note is I kind of wanted to see them in like a 50s Mad Men setting. The apes. Because like they're in the jungle. It's awesome. And you know, they're like figuring out how to talk to each other. I wanted like someone in a blonde wig, you know, with an apron on. And
hilarious.
Be great. But I think the 10 years from the flu epidemic to them is like that thousand people is like all of the people that they could find in that area that are still alive. Mm-hmm. So there might be like, I was figuring in my head, like, I don't know, a dozen or so clusters of 1,000 people around, like in America.
Okay. Well, didn't Carrie Russell say something about how those people were just genetically predisposed to not get the simian flu?
Right.
And that was the only reason why they were alive still.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, just have more people and what's the problem?
Right. Like that's what I wonder about next movie is like, how are they going to get wiped out completely? I guess they don't. They're like in cages and shit, right?
Well, I mean, if the original Planet of the Apes, they're mostly gone, you know?
Yeah, but there are like 10 that they just like have as pets.
But I think, I don't know the series well enough to say definitively, but I believe it just keeps getting, you know, less and less people and the apes become more and more human-like. You know, to where they're more and more upright and speaking like
humans. So it's basically called evolution?
Essentially, yeah. Evolution of the Planet of the Apes.
That should be the third one, for sure. Yeah.
That is such a cumbersome thing for me to say, by the way. Two of the's in one title is so hard for me to say.
Apes.
Because I want to say it quickly.
Right.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. That's such just like a fucking shit.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah, two. More Meatballs. Mm-hmm. The sequel.
And a leak in the boat.
Leak. So, I think that, so the beginning we have is when we're finally, you know, in the actual movie. It's not just the prelude. And I found the CGI just to be amazing. Like, I was just absolutely captivated by the apes. Not so much really like the elk or whatever they were, the deer.
Mm-hmm.
But the apes themselves, especially when Caesar and company are speaking,
sure,
they chose to have it rain a lot, and I was like, God, that just seems like so much extra work to make their fur all like matted together.
Kevin had to put a lot of night shifts in for that shit.
Yeah, fuck yeah, he did. And so I just thought that was so well done. I found myself kind of not really paying attention to what anyone was saying ever and was just kind of looking at the screen like, oh my God, like look at this.
Yeah, it was really good. I totally agree with you there.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that a lot of people have the same notes as you've already mentioned and what I have written down is that I think it's very impressive, the visuals, but I just don't give a shit about any of the people. Like, yeah. I just don't care at all about any of them.
No. And because they're trying to, like, make, and I mean, like, this is what you need to make a movie. Like, these are the pieces that you need. You need, you know, like, two people on both, in this particular movie, two people on both sides who are trying to do the right thing, and then people that aren't sure, and then somebody who's, like, not trying, you know, so, like, I did notice that we got a lot of Citizen Kane Caesar shots.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm just trying to get my tribe to, you know, like, that sort of shit. And, I agree with you on that. I mean, like, to be fair, when they were getting along, the middle child in me was like, this is nice. And then that ugly monkey was like trying to fuck everything up. And I'm like, God damn it. So like he pissed me off.
Oh, Koba.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he made me angry, but.
Sure. Yeah. I think that was well done. I thought that, you know, once the fucking jerk off human guy that shoots, the ape at the beginning.
Yeah, dumbass.
Once that guy was in there, I was like, oh, F this dude. Just like somebody rip him apart or something. Right. You know, and I just couldn't wait for something bad to happen to him. But, yeah, I mean, the storyline was fine. I mean, I don't know. It's one of those movies where it's kind of frustrating because I think it does a lot of things really well, but ultimately I have just zero connection with it because in the first film you have, oh, it's baby Caesar and he's connecting with humans, and you have John Lithgow playing the man who's losing his mind, who has Alzheimer's, and he's confused, and you have that sort of tugging at your heartstrings, and you have
You have Franco.
Yeah, you have James Franco and his connection with not only having a job, but with his connection with Caesar and about how that all goes to shit and all that. And so you have all of these things where you're feeling bad about it. This is essentially like a 2 hour plus action movie, which is fine, but I don't need it to be a 2 hour plus action movie. Like there's not enough story for it to be that long. Like it should be an hour and a half or an hour 45.
Yeah.
And it should get in there and just, you know, move the story along and then get out of there. I get the CGI is tremendous in all of the slow scenes where they're sitting and having the apes talk and all that. And I like that fine. When they're having all of the humans and they're plotting and Gary Oldman, who I really like Gary Oldman in Leon and, the Batman movies playing Commissioner Gordon and several different things. But here I was just like, what the fuck? Like, I don't care about this guy at all. Like, get him off the screen. I don't, you know, I was just like, I have zero sympathy for the humans. There's no reason that they can't just make do somewhere else is what I just kept feeling like.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I understand why they were trying to do what they were doing, but like, the half-assed backstory on everybody.
Yeah.
It's not working for me. Like, she had a kid who died and his wife died and now they're trying to make it work. And then like Gary Oldman that reminded me, like, you know, his iPad clicks back on because God forbid, you know, fucking 75% of us get wiped out and we can't live without like fucking Angry Birds or whatever. But, you know, those pictures of his kids were on there and he just loses it. And I'm like, I've never fucking seen these kids before. I've never seen you hug these kids. Like, I mean, I feel sorry for you, but like, I don't know. I guess this is probably what watching Walking Dead, like, gives me no, like, sympathy for any of these people.
Okay, yeah. Because you're in a horrible situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But,
like, you're living in a huge walled off place and you have beds and you are okay, like, people lived without power for hundreds of years.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, you have plenty of people to where it's not like there's six of you and you're going to figure out how the human race is going to have to survive.
Right. You have like, yeah.
There's plenty of options. Yeah. You don't have your fucking DVR, but so what?
I mean, might be a breaker for me, to be honest. It's amazing. Yeah. But I totally agree with that. Like I was thinking when, you know, they saw them in the woods, those six people. I'm like, oh, these are what's left.
Yes, that's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
And then I came back, I'm like, oh no, not even close. That's
sorry. Because that would be a lot more interesting to me if there was just six and it's like, oh man, we are fucked. But they find like a big stash of weapons and it's the six of them trying. But see, even then, like who are you supposed to root for? Right? Like, are you supposed to be rooting for the apes? If so, then you don't give a shit about the humans. Are you supposed to root for the humans? Well, probably not, because the apes are the lead characters.
Right. It's not Dawn of Planet of the Humans.
Yeah. So you're like, okay, well, fuck all these humans. I hope they die. That's not really what you're thinking. But you're also not thinking, well, I hope all these apes get killed too.
Right.
So you just kind of sit and watch it and you don't get connected to the movie.
This is definitely like the epitome of a middle movie of a trilogy. Where they're like, we're not going to have any big plot points. We just need to move this along. Let's cut the people by a distinct number. So then by the time we reach the third one, we can only narrow it, like whittle the number down to like 40.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're done.
Yeah. And again, I thought that I thought that it looked great, especially when we have like the fighting at the end. Like that's just, it's so much CGI on the screen and it just, I think it looks really good.
Yeah.
And I think it's deserved that it was nominated for an Oscar for best visual effects, even though it didn't win. But I think that that's deserved, but it just left me feeling kind of cold. And I don't know if that's, has to do with the director who is Matt Reeves, who also did, Cloverfield.
Oh, okay.
But then he also did the movie right before this, which was 4 years ago, which is kind of interesting to me that it was such a long gap. But he did the vampire movie that we discussed, Let Me In.
Oh, I liked that one.
Yeah, me too. And so and it makes sense then that Cody Smith McPhee was in this also. Yes,
and I recognized him from that and looked him up. You'd be proud of me.
Good. With him being in this, and I mean, we're a big fan of his apparently because, you know, we've done The Road and he was the boy in The Road.
Yep.
And Let Me In and now Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. So there you go.
Yeah. Hopefully he's in more things. He's good.
Yeah, he is. He really is good. He's been in a lot of stuff. You know, he's been in, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's been in like 6 things recently. So, and he's going to be in a superhero movie coming up. So there you go.
Yay!
No one can avoid it, apparently. Everyone's gonna be in it now.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone that's anyone. So I don't know. Like, I thought it was good. It wasn't great. This is probably one that I'm probably satisfied with just the one watch. I'm not, begging to see it again.
My favorite part, which, I mean, speaks to the middle movie thing, is when they went back to his old house. And I'm like, oh my god, is James Franco gonna be there?
Oh, yeah. That was sad because the part that hit me the hardest of the sequel is when he's in the cage and he draws the window.
Yeah.
Of the first one, I should say. He draws that, he draws the window and says, and says he misses home or whatever. And so we see that little snippet and I'm like, oh yes, you are working on me now, movie.
Yeah.
You know,
but that was the only part where, cause like that's, you know, harkening back to the first one where you had actual emotional connections with people. So
yeah,
what are you going to do?
I don't know. You know, and I typically like Jason Clarke too, who played Malcolm, who was kind of the main guy.
He's okay. He's kind of vanilla though.
He is vanilla. He's a guy that, you know, I think is, one of those actors that's just, you know, a character actor. So I'm like, oh, okay, well good for him. He got a chance to kind of be a main guy and that's good. And, you know, he was in, Gatsby and White House Down and Zero Dark 30 and Lawless and...
Ass bag in Gatsby, wasn't he?
He was Tom Lin- or I'm right. sorry, he's George Wilson in Gatsby.
Oh, okay.
But he, and he's in Child 44, which is a movie that I'm eagerly anticipating with, Tom Hardy.
44!
So there you go. Tom Hardy with, Tom Hardy playing a Russian.
Just say Tom Hardy one more time.
Mad Max and Tom Hardy coming out later this year. Coming at ya.
Let's just get off track here for a second. Is that guy going to see how many fucking accents he can do in the span of his lifetime in movies? Is that just what his job is?
Apparently. I mean, he's quite good at most of them.
He is. He's amazing. Like, he, you know, I know that we've talked about some people who have even tried to do, like, British accents and have fallen short, but, like,
not he was you, in...
though. No. Well, not me. I'm amazing at all of them. So, but like he was in The Drop that we just watched and he is doing like a Jersey-ish accent and it sounds super, like supernatural sounds like a weird thing to say, but it does.
Sounds good though, huh?
Yeah. I just don't understand. Like whatever. He can do what he wants. He's
How is The Drop?
It was interesting. Actually.
Was it? Because yeah. I have that up towards the top of my queue. I haven't obviously got it yet, but I'm curious about it for sure. Yeah,
we can do a shot on it or whatever you want to do.
All right. I do have it up there. I knew that I was like, oh, well, it's got Tom Hardy. I'm definitely going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, I mean, it has decent reviews. It's one of the last movies that has James Gandolfini in it.
Yeah, he's
in
it too.
And Noomi Rapace, who is the only girl with a dragon tattoo that I'll ever acknowledge.
Is that the chick? The one that was in Sherlock Holmes?
The woman, yeah, from Nadia is her character.
Sure.
Yeah.
So back to Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
I made an awesome joke. I said, oh. Did anyone else think of guerrilla warfare, or was that just me?
Whoa. But a boom.
Like, I was giggling to myself on the couch.
You're just sitting there like,
why you're laughing.
No, Brad, get it. Guerrilla warfare.
Gorilla, because they're gorilla.
I don't think you're understanding what I'm saying.
And let's talk about Coda for a second and how psychotic he is.
How awesome was the scene where he pretends to be dumb, though?
That was pretty good.
That was really... I found that really charming and fun.
So did I, actually.
I was like, ah, this is nice. Like, these guys are gonna fucking get it, but this part's fun.
Yeah, I like that, too. The shot of him on the tank was, like, hilarious to me for some reason. Like, I understand, you know, that they're evolving into what they're going to be, but, like, them riding horses and being on a tank, the tank thing was just, like, too much.
The horses still looked weird to me.
Yeah, me too.
It's because their legs are so short.
Yeah, and they're not, you know, because they're not, when you sit up on a horse, you're supposed, I mean, I'm not, you know, equestrian by any means, but, like, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to sit up, as you know, pretty straight, but that did look funny.
You are built like a jockey, though, I'll tell you that much, Chris.
Fuck yeah, I am.
Just a little waifish thing.
Not like a jockey. That's my motto.
Just gets blown over by the wind, that cruise.
Jockey's a delicate fucking flower. Oh, and then when they knocked the bus over, it reminded me that they should do Planet of the Apes, The Fugitive. That's what that reminded me of when he got away on the bus.
It wasn't me. It was the one-armed ape.
Yeah.
There it is. That's the tagline.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a scary movie type film saying that.
Yeah.
It'd be called Ape Movie, and it says, it wasn't me, it was a one-armed ape. Write it up. That's gold.
Oh, man. We keep this up, we'll be writing rom-coms in no time.
Just printing money over here. So what do you think about the next movie? Are you looking forward to seeing it, or what? It won't come out for a while. It's like 2 years or so.
Do you know what I want to do is I want to go back to the first one, the original with Charlton Heston and watch
that. You know, I think that that's what they're doing. I mean, I think that it goes to the next one and then the one after that would be a remake of just the regular Planet of the Apes.
Right, which is kind of, so I want to, cause I can't remember when I watched that last. So, I mean, it would have been a long time ago. So I'd like to go revisit that before that next one comes out. It sounds like I have plenty of time.
yeah, it's not for another 2 years.
Nice.
But, you know, it's one of those things where they've got so, there's so many different franchises and fucking Star Wars and superhero shit that's going on all the time. It's like you've got to earmark a date just so you're not competing against some other big blockbuster
thing.
Right.
It's like people having weddings, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm getting married on this day.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not engaged, but this is my fucking date.
Yeah.
It's coming, I know it.
Write it down, bitch.
Yeah, it's like, God forbid we have any art. It's just about the fucking money anymore. It makes me sick.
Oh, wow.
God damn.
You smell Boyhood on me?
God damn. You know what's weird is I thought about Boyhood as I was saying that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Jesus, why don't we click our pumpkin beers together?
I guess.
Be more ridiculous as a
fall beers and Boyhooding it up. That's what happens when we don't have the other two. We're simpatico, Cruz.
That's why true. I don't like this. I don't like it. It gives me the creeps.
That's why we're the hosts. Yeah. Just guests. Jesus. All right. Well, that's pretty much all I have about those two movies. I think that, I think they were both fine. I think they were both ultimately not that rememberable.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a word.
Yes, rememberable.
Yeah.
My favorite.
I'm going to go teach grammar next to tomorrow, by the way.
It means I was drunk yesterday.
It's all right. Those kids don't know I do this.
Yeah.
Mr. Williams, you are saying rememberable. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
Shut up.
What about when I said fuck 72 times? Do you remember that part?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What about when I said probably racist things a long time ago? You guys remember that as offensive and racist. That it happened. I don't remember. This has been a lot of hours, a lot of podcasting hours.
Yeah, I don't know. Those lines were pretty rememberable, though, so I kind of remember.
Jesus. All right, why don't you wrap us up unless you have anything else to add on these two ape movies?
I don't think I could possibly add anything
else. The good thing for people that may be like, ah, man, fuck these apes. I'm not into this theme. The next one for me, at least for sure, is not about apes. So there you go. You can
I don't think I had any other ape ones up my sleeve.
Well, there's Project Nim that I was thinking about picking, which is a documentary about an ape. And then there's, of course, Gorillas in the Mist. Right?
Now this is really weird because we also used to watch that when we were little. I don't understand why we watch so many movies about chimpanzees and gorillas.
Well, your folks wanted to expose you to the world.
Yeah.
To other things. And since you are such a heathen of a family, you obviously are not Christians, and so you needed to believe in evolution. The whole thing.
Dad! Jesus made humans and Mountain Dew.
In that order.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Okay, why don't you wrap us up, Cruiser?
Yeah. If you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about that possibly don't have to do with monkeys, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter at plainlabelpod, or you can follow us at EricWilliams79 and me at LadyZlag. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show, search Plain Label Podcast. And if you want to help us out a bit, go to Amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of movies, equipment we need, and just a bunch of other amazing, hilarious things. So search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. And thanks for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more animal movies.